Wonderful. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. May we have the same response to this teaching that our Lord Jesus Christ gave on this Sermon on the Mount, and how privileged, and think about it, how privileged we are to have this recorded for us. Many look at it as the pinnacle of teaching, period, and we have it in this Word of God before us. May we have this heart. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And not as the scribes. Back to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we are on our journey. This is part 10, Sermon on the Mount. Verse 1, chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. I'd like you to look at the word alms. There are better Greek texts, and it's the consideration of scholars that this Greek word for alms really should be a word, diakosune, which means righteousness. It's a different word than the word alms in verse 2. So it should better read, take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. No reward. No reward of your Father which is in heaven. Your righteousness. Now, are we righteous because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection? That's how we are. That's who we are. But how we live in that righteousness, in the appreciation, in the love of God, in the love for each other, that righteousness, it's exhibited through goodness. So you could look at that and say, take heed that you do not your righteous acts or righteous deeds before men to be seen of them. And this is the main focal point of this section that we're going to look at today. Is doing things to be seen of men versus doing things because you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and love each other as yourself. There's a big difference. And Jesus is going to cut right through it. Now we know from Matthew chapter 23 that all the works that the Pharisees did, they did to be seen of men. What a waste of good works is to be seen of men. How much reward did they get of their Heavenly Father when you do works to be seen of men? No reward. To trade the temporary, empty, shallow praise of men as a wage or a reward or fruit of your endeavors and your labors, to trade that instead of the rich and eternal an excelling, superior reward from our Heavenly Father. And yet, that's what Jesus is addressing in this section. Put your finger here, and I'd like to go to Psalm 106, please. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, and in this psalm, we see this concept of the righteousness being exhibited or done, doing righteousness. In 106, verse 3, it says, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. So this is a righteous, godly, pious act that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6. To do righteousness. Take heed that you do not your righteousness or righteous acts before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, this is not a contradiction to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, which says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But here it is, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works. But the reasoning is that God would be glorified. For those who are doing good works to be seen of men, who gets the glory? They do. To do the motivation and purpose of doing the good works to be seen of men. And I say, what a waste of good works. When you think about people who are pious, it's the word pious gets bad rap today. Oh, you pious son of a gun. Like self-righteous son of a gun. But pious, true piety is a relationship. It's a relationship with God. It's a right relationship with God is someone who is pious, someone who is godly. It's a good thing. And true piety is relational. It's a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. True piety, true godliness comes from within. It comes from the heart. And Jesus Christ is concerned with the heart all the way through this section. It comes from the love of God and the love for each other. And I think about when Jesus Christ is talking about the law, how upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the true heart of one who is pious. False piety, or the appearance of piety with the goal of receiving praise of and applaud and accolades from men, reward of men, it's not piety at all. It's fake. It's false. If the reason why people are doing things is to receive the applause and praise of men, then it's not pious at all. And how much reward did God say for those who are due those acts of righteousness to be seen of men? No reward from God. And as we'll see in this section, there is a reward for people who do those things, and it's the praise of men. And that's all the reward that they get, is the praise of men. Here's our charge. Here's what Jesus is charging us here. It says, receive the reward from God. Receive that reward. And you know what our ultimate reward in this whole life is? Him. Him. If that's what we're seeking a relationship with Him. If what we're doing is because of our relationship with Him, it sets us apart from this world. You ever gone to like a hospital and a whole wing or something is named after a person? They get their glory. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that there's a wing at a hospital. But if that's the reason why they gave is so that they would get the plaque on the hospital. You see the difference? Sometimes we can look at a good work or an act of kindness, or benevolence, philanthropy, and we'll never know the true motivation of the heart. If the motivation of the heart is to receive the accolades of men, there's no reward of the Father. And I say, what a waste of a good act. But here we go. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, now this is an act of giving, this word alms here, Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, for they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what they were striving for, and that's what they get. You ever heard the saying, don't toot your own horn? And I looked at this, and in the Hebrew text, it's the shofar, you know, that they would blow, and that has great sacred connotations to it. But really, in this utilization of this, it's just an ostentatious calling attention to yourself thing. So when they would give, they would make sure everybody possible saw that they were giving. And they have their reward. And their reward is what they wanted. And it's the praise of men. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, your generous giving to relieve suffering or hardship for someone, when you give alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. You hear that expression used today. But this, let not thy left hand know what your right hand is doing, is a Hebrewism. It's a Hebrewism. You know, the right hand that gives blessings is me. The left hand is also me, if I'm the one giving. It's how does your left hand not know what your right hand is doing? But this is an idiom, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And it means to, when you give, when you offer charitable acts of kindness and giving, do it with extreme secrecy and humility and pure motives, a motives that God would get the glory rather than public praise. It advises giving so quietly that one doesn't even, and here's the big part of what this means, one doesn't even congratulate themselves. My right hand is offering blessings and my left hand is busy patting myself on the back. Right? No. It's a Hebrewism to really show the greatness of, it's just a giving. That the person receiving the blessing may realize it's you, but they really realize that it's not you, it's God. And they give God the glory. And that's what Jesus is sharing. Let not thy left hand know what your right hand is doing. That we don't even congratulate ourselves. We don't even pat our own selves on the back. We don't even, in secret, boy, what a good boy am I. Right? Little Jack Horner. The old nursery rhyme. That's a very dark nursery rhyme if you know the truth about it. We won't get into that right now. Verse 4. That thine alms, thy charitable giving, may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly, the King James says. And I've looked at the text over and over, the best that I can do, and I really believe that the words openly is not in the text. And that shows up 3 times in this section. Reward thee openly. It's not pointing out the antithetical, the contrary notion. You do it in secret, God rewards you openly. That's not the main point here. The main point is you do it in secret, God rewards you. And the big point is God's excelling, excellent, superior reward versus the praise of men. So openly, I really, with all my heart, believe is not in the text. You'll see that show up again in verse 6 when we get there, and in verse 18 also, and it's just the same thing. It's not in the text. It's not pointing out that, you know, the big thing is that he rewards you openly so people can see you. If you're, the heart that you're doing stuff is so that I'm going to do it in secret, but God's going to reward me openly so people can see it. It kind of defeats the purpose of doing things in secret, right? So that's that. So that's giving. And giving is a wonderful, righteous act. And it's a blessing to the person receiving and you as the person giving also. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, is praying a righteous act? Yeah, it's good. But then we must look, and Jesus is saying, we're going to be looking at the motivation of why you're praying. Why you're praying. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. You know when it said the hypocrites that sound the trumpet before thee, and here it says not the hypocrites when they're praying? Hypocrite, in that time, when you look at the word hypocrite, it was the word used for actors who would put a mask in front of their face. They were acting. If your giving is acting, is it true giving? If your praying is acting, is it true prayer? Prayer is one of the most intimate things we can do in our relationship with God. But if we're doing it to be seen of men, it's acting. And it's not prayer at all. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. And the reason why they're praying is that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And that's all the reward that they get. I want you to think about times where you've truly prayed to God. Maybe times where your eyes are flush with tears, and your heart's pricked with pain, seeking deliverance. Can you imagine the shallowness of doing it in those times to be seen of men? What's the heart? You're talking to your Heavenly Father. I want deliverance. I need deliverance. How about those times when you're so overwhelmed with thanksgiving? I think of that movie, Facing the Giants, where the guy, where he finds out his wife's pregnant. Do you remember what he said? He said, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. Because he's talking to God. It wasn't for anybody else to see. He's talking to God. And that's that prayer. True prayer. It's not an act. It's not for applause. It's not for the audience. It's for the audience of one, the audience of the one, God, and God alone. You know, the reward, the genuine reward of prayer is for God's, is to have God's gracious ear to hear our petitions, to receive our heartfelt thanks and praise, to be comforted by God's mercy and forgiveness. What a reward. That's a true reward. And what they were seeking is the praise of men. And in that, their reward is full. And it's all that there is. There's no more. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. It should read, he shall reward thee. And then it says, but when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's a shame that this section, when it's talking about the Lord's Prayer, how repetitive of a prayer it has become for some people. Just a shame. Doesn't make them bad people. They're taught that way. Verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And in some texts, he knows what you have need of before you open your mouth, it reads. Before you even open your mouth. But does God want us to open our mouths? Yeah. You know what? The great thing about praying is when we see the deliverance, we absolutely know where it came from because we've been praying for it. We've been talking to God about it. And then verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name, thy kingdom come. And it's after this manner, this type of prayer, not a repetitive prayer, not a prayer. It says after this manner. And I want to call attention to you. You've probably already seen it, but I just want to point out that when he's talking, this whole section that we've been reading, from verse 5 on, it's about prayer and how to pray, the motive and the method of prayer. So when he says after this manner, it's not just the words that follow, but what he's been teaching about prayer up to that point as well, that it's not to be seen of men, that it is to be between you and God. Now, this is not a judgment against public prayer. It's the motive of the heart. If the reason why you're praying in public is to make sure that people see you pray, then don't bother. There's great benefit to public prayer when people get together and they pray. Great benefit. You can see in the book of Acts plenty of places where they gathered together and they prayed together and they had common heart together about things they were seeking and praising God for. So it's not a condemnation of public prayer in any way. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pardon me. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. After this manner, you see what Jesus is teaching his disciples. The wonderful man John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Jesus is giving that here as well. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I want to say that I quickly read through this today. And I think the Lord's Prayer deserves and merits another day, another time where we go through that together and see the richness and the teaching and the heart and the meaning of that. So that will be another time. I want to keep focused on the point that Jesus Christ is making in verse 1. And that was, take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. That's the introduction. The Lord's Prayer, it's like a big parenthesis describing prayer. And we will look at that in a future time. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the what? Hypocrites, once again, acting. Be not like them, be of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. And verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Fasting in the Bible, it's a concentrated effort and seriousness about prayer, about tuning in to God and God alone. Fasting is wonderful, but not if the reason why you're fasting is so people can see that you're fasting. Where they make their faces extra What a pious man. He's look at him. He's suffering. He's fasting. But thou, for it says, for verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What's their reward for fasting? Is it an answer to prayer? No, it's that they get to be seen as pious, that they get to be seen of men, that they get the reward of saying, ooh, look at him. But when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee. And that's where we're going to end today. And we'll get into this next section in the future. But to wrap it up, it really starts with the very first verse of chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. The motivation behind it is to be seen of men. Be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And I pray that we may all have that kind of heart, that the good that we do, and I've seen it. I've seen you guys busting people, charitable hearts, busting it for others, that we don't get ripped off by doing it for men, but our heart be that God gets glorified and that the reward is genuine and the reward is eternal and the reward is a right relationship with God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen.